I forgot to tell you that's not nailed down. 71, Book of Psalms. Let's just go to the Lord once more before we start, shall we? Lord, thanks for bringing us together. Thanks for your word. Thanks for the Psalms here and how they draw us into your presence and give us such an honest opinion of, as they write, of how they feel and what you're doing in their lives. And we can certainly reflect, Lord, and see you working in each one of our lives. And we thank you for the opportunity just to lift our voices and praise you for a little bit, Lord. You're certainly worthy of being glorified. And I thank you for the praise team on Wednesdays and for myself, just a chance to worship you on Wednesday nights. We praise your name. Amen. Chapter 71 of the book of Psalms. Chapter 71 is known as the Psalm of Old Age. The Psalm of Old Age. I realize that in this group, we don't. It's kind of hard for us to imagine such a thing. Fairly young crowd in this bunch. But I think it's healthy for us once in a while to just kind of sit back and ponder upon our old age and ask ourselves, you know, this whole concept about finishing well. How are we going to grow? How are we going to finish as we get older? Now, if you're in your 20s, it's a great time, man. Everything's great and everything's shiny and, you get distracted easy. Shiny objects. And life is grand and it just looks like it'll go on forever. But boy, once you hit 30, things kind of, kick into, hyper mode. And I'm just about ready to hit 40. And she's really flying now. And you start wondering and looking back at your life and asking, what kind of legacy am I going to leave? What kind of a life have I led? I guess at some point in your life you turn around, and look back. I think that you should not wait until you're almost 40 to do that. I think if you're doing that in your 20s, I think that'd be a good idea to look back and see what kind of life you're living. Paul the Apostle, as he approached the end, he spoke a lot about finishing well. He was a man who wanted to finish fighting for God in the same way as he did all the years previous. And I think he did. Now, one of the things that helped Paul, if you recall, in the book of Acts, the time that he was drug out of the city and he was stoned and virtually to death, and he had, whether it was a vision or a dream or whether he was really there, but he talked about being in the third heaven, and he saw things that it just... He could never even speak of. They were so unspeakable. I mean, the guy saw a glimpse of heaven. And, from that point forward, not that he was a pushover before that, obviously, but from that point forward, the guy was unstoppable. I mean, even when he kind of pulled himself together from that episode, I mean, they drug him out, they stoned him, and everyone thought he was dead. All of his buddies hanging over him, they thought he was dead. And he wakes up, and what's he do? Walks back into town again to the very people that just got through stoning him nearly to death or to death. And I think he saw a vision of heaven and realized what a fantastic picture that was, what a fantastic place that was. And Paul, from that point forward, had no fear. I think we should live our lives in the same situation of living in no fear. This Psalm 71 here, again, as we've mentioned, speaks of old age. And he begins in verse 1 and he says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee, have I been holden up from thy womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee." Now, going back to verse 1, he begins and says, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Now, that's a concept or a theme or an idea that we see running really throughout the book of Psalms, if not the scripture as a whole. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." Now, one thing I want to bring up before we go on that is, it's very easy when you're in a body of Christ, especially one as tight as this, to begin to rely on everyone else as that which is holding you up. I know that even as pastor and leadership around here, we struggle with that whole concept of what is helping someone, what is assisting someone, and what is holding them up so that when you take your hands away, boom, they fall down because they were relying on you and not the Holy Spirit. And it's a danger. And it's easy in a fellowship around here to kind of move with the tide, you know. We all move this way, and it's like a herd of cattle. We all move this way. And without realizing that each individual must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We all individually must stand before God. O Lord, do I put my trust? See, it's easy to say, we put our trust. Yeah, all together, one for all for one, you know, kind of charge mentality without realizing that really when it comes down to push and shove, it's me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. Because if I'm relying on other people let you down, don't they? Now, I love this family, and I love hanging around with you guys. But everyone in this group, especially if you're new, just learn it right off the bat right now. We will all let you down, including this pastor, probably sooner than later. Okay? Why? Well, because, I don't know, you need to learn right off the bat that I am just a man. I'm just a man. I have the same passions. I have the same thoughts. I struggle with sin. I fall down. You know, I have the same battle going on every day with me that you do. I realize that we don't want to think that, you know. We somehow want to lift our pastors up to, you know, super saint status, you know. Ooh, Billy Graham, you know. Wow, it's the pastor. You know, except those of you in leadership, and say, oh, yeah, it's Tim. You know, they think nothing. And that's good. Now, I take my position seriously, as you do. Whatever God's called you in this church or in the total body of Christ, you should be living that like it's the most important place in the ministry, the most important place in the body of Christ. Because you know what? For you, it is. It is. Find it and live it with all the gusto you can. But I'm just a man, and we're all just people. You need to depend on Jesus Christ. Who has all the answers? The pastor! Wrong. Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ. The Word of God. That has all the answers. And he says, I put my trust in the Lord. Right off the bat. And remember, this is probably David here, the writer. And he's writing in old age. And whoever's writing is writing in older age and looking back. So when he says this, it takes on a whole new light when you look back and say, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust, even after all these years. Because if you read the writings of Paul, and when he writes, he was thrilled when somebody was born again, but he was even more thrilled to write 10 years later to a church like we just started in Philippians on Sunday, writing 10 years later, 11 years later, and saying, hey, I hear you're doing good. You know? You have to understand what a great thing it is for Pastor Dave, who founded this church, to get newsletters from us, you know. And since it's California time, while he's dressing in the morning and getting ready to go to church to pastor out in California, he listens to our service on Sunday. So he gets to hear me teach, and you know, and so I always have to be careful what I say about him on Sunday mornings. And in all that, he takes great joy in looking back and see that we're still walking it. We're still doing it. And that's the situation here. After all these years, he's looked back and he says, I still put my trust in you, Lord. Because, you know, we talk about people, some people being a comet and some people being a shooting star. You know, the shooting stars, ooh, boy, that guy's fired up for God. He's going to do great things by God, but it's just, and he's gone. Shooting star. Then there's the comet. This just stays up there year after year after year, just glowing and just keeps going. That's what I want to be. I want to be a comet, not a shooting star. He says in verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness. Oh, excuse me, I want to add one more thing. Verse 1, let me never be put to confusion. I want to say something about confusion. Now, you guys know, those of you that are students of the Bible, what the Bible says about confusion. And again, he looks back and he sees that he's still standing, he's still putting his trust. And what he wants beyond that is no confusion, because the Bible tells us that Satan is the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. And we know that confusion comes from our own lust of our hearts and from Satan himself. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And so he's saying here that he is seeking God himself personally, that he would never be put to confusion. If you're in a situation where it's confusion, I have lots of people oftentimes come to me for counseling, and it's like, Pastor, I'm confused, and should I go A or should I go B? Lots of times my counsel is, don't move. Just don't move. You know, I like the verse that says, stand still and know that I am God. And sometimes that's just what you need to do, because the devil wants you to move. By the way, it's never the Lord who wants you to move quick.
And you come in, I gotta go. Man, if I don't make the decision tonight, yeah, I'm lost. It'll never be the same. My life will be over. Yeah, I gotta make the decision tonight. It's like, don't do it, dude. Don't do it. That's the devil. God woos you, not pushes you. Mr. Wizard. You know, we gotta be very, very careful. You do not get into that situation. Okay? God woos you. It's a slow thing. Now, verse 2, he goes on, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thy ear unto me and save me. Now, again, in the context of older folk, oftentimes I will speak to older folk, perhaps a lot of them that have been in the ministry, and oftentimes they feel that they are no longer functional. They look at pastors like me and they go, so this is what's happened to the Church of God. You know, tie-dye along here, that's it. You know, it's over for me. I mean, I'm out, you know. And a lot of them are feeling like they cannot serve God. But first of all, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I was blessed enough just today to be able to sit down with an older warrior and from up in the Hayward area. We're trying to kind of sister with a church up there, so we know where to send the guys out of the jail that get out of Sawyer County. And he just happened to be down in the area, and I got a chance to just pray with him today and talk with him and fellowship with him. And, you know, by all... a lot of guys his age would be like, it's time to retire and fish. He retired from his job so that he could spend more time in the ministry. I'm excited for him. I you know, it's good to see a guy still punching away, even at that age. And no matter what, even if you're confined to a bed, you can pray. Oh, pray? Let me tell you something. Don't ever be fooled. Praying is the front lines, guys. That's where it's at. If you're unaware, we have prayers going on before Wednesday services and before Sunday morning services. And that's where it's at, guys. That's where the action is. If you come to the Calvary Chapel, ooh, I want to get involved. I want to be a part of the action. Well, I'll tell you, one place to start is the prayer group. It's like, oh, that's so sedate. That's so calm. No, you go in there and you can brace yourself, because the devil will be coming for you because he doesn't want you to pray. See, we can sit down here and we can kind of go through the church motions, kind of go to do this church thing, and we can, you know, do our Yeshua Palooza thing, you know, and do our gathering thing. We can go through all of our actions, but if God ain't behind it, it's just us, and it'll be nothing. Nothing will happen. God has to be behind this. And that's where prayer comes in. You should be praying alone. You should be praying unceasingly. You should be praying in fellowship. You should be praying together. Be praying all the time. Praying all the time. Does God wake you guys up in the middle of the night with somebody on your mind? Pray, man. Take the opportunity. That's God. And here he's in the situation. He says, deliver me in thy righteousness, cause me to escape, incline thy ear unto me. And even as an older man, he's saying, you know what? Lord, listen to my prayer. Listen to my prayer. He's asking God to kind of lean in, Lord. Lean in. Verse 3, be thou my strong habitation. Perhaps your Bible says something about a rock. That is another interpretation of it. Be thou my rock. Now, in the New Testament, it starts to refer to Jesus Christ as that rock, as that foundation, as the rock, as in contrary to the shifting sands. And many of us have built our house on the shifting sand, you know? And if you've ever been in one of these old houses, you know, where the foundation, you know, starts to give a little bit, you know, sort of like my garage, starts to lean, so you always feel like you're staying like this. You know, it's like, wow, what have I built this thing on? You know, shifting sand. But you build it on a rock, it stays. And here that reference is, be thou my strong habitation. God, I want you to be my rock. Because let me tell you something. If you're a young Christian or an old Christian, or maybe you're not a Christian, let me tell you something. God is the only rock. You don't have to live very long. Even if you are in your 20s or even your teens, it doesn't take. You don't have to get very old before you start figuring out, you know, there is nothing in this world that isn't moving, isn't shifting. And so you just feel like the whole world is moving around. Now I got to fly this week. See, I had bees on Sundays. And you start feeling like the whole world is starting to shift around. And that's why we have the problems mentally that we have in this society. Because, hey, listen, it's no mystery. The world around you, if you start looking around, it's like, she's breaking up, you know, Captain, you know. You start feeling like there's nothing solid. Well, let me tell you something. God is the only thing. He says, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you start looking around the room in here, especially if you're not a believer, and you look around at these guys who call themselves believers, and you go, you know, these guys, you seem so relaxed, and you seem so at peace. It's because we're standing on the rock.
And that doesn't mean we don't have trials and tribulations. That doesn't mean the wind doesn't blow. But if you go out to the west coast and you see these giant redwoods right on the coast, you ever wonder, why don't those puppies fall over? I mean, they're huge. I mean, at that big, you can catch some mighty wind from there. Because if you could look underground, all those roots connected into just one giant root. And so when the wind blows, they just all hunker down and hold as it bends. That's the way God works. That's the way we are in this church. A firm foundation, Jesus Christ. And he says here, be my rock, whereunto I may continually resort. Now, you guys know how I feel about this. I'm a pastor who believes in continuity and consistency. I want to, when I'm an old man, look back and say, I have continually resorted to God. Do you ever feel like that you're bugging him? I do sometimes. It's like sometimes I go to him so much, it's like, God, I'm sorry, I know I bothered you a lot today. Am I bugging you? Let me tell you something. God is the perfect Father. You're never bugging God. See, I've learned that God's very much like cable internet. Can I compare him to cable internet? You guys, those of you computer wizards, you know what I'm talking about. You know, at home, I always got to dial up. You know, and you go through all that computer stuff, you know, and dial up all the time. But at church here, we have cable internet. That means it's always on, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's fast. It's just right there. Boom! You know, I love cable internet. That's God. And you can just leave the line open all the time. See, lots of times we think we have to go find God, and it's like the bat phone, you know? We got to go find the phone, you know, and dial him up. You know, hello, God, I got a problem. But he's not supposed to be that way. He's supposed to be, hey, God, I got a problem. Because he's supposed to be right there, walking with you, that close. He tells us that he wants to guide us with his eye. You know? Those of you that are married, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know? Remember when you need to leave? You know? You start across the room, you know, give the eye motion to the spouse. Yeah, yeah. Communicate. You can literally have this whole conversation from across the room. That's what God wants to do with us. Or he says he can deal with you with the bit and bridle. Those of you with horses, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I've done the bit and bridle thing. I don't want to do that no more. But some of us just invariably require God to deal with us in that realm. You know? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I had this horse when I was young that it was a horse, but it had some, like, I don't know, mule blood back in it. No lie, honest. It didn't just seem like it. Yeah, it did seem like it, but he actually did. And he not only got dealt with a bit and bridle, but a lot of cuffs in the head. And once in a while, it was a kick, too. But I was just a kid, so I, you know, and I think sometimes, God, are you having to deal with me like that, you know? You know, do you have to cuff me in the ears because I'm not listening? Or does he just deal with me in the eye here? Continually resort. Do we continually resort to God? It's okay. Again, if you feel like you're using God as a crutch, praise the Lord. He is a crutch. You say, you Christians, you need God to get through the day. You got that right. What's getting you through the day? You know? A couple of cold beers and a hit when you come home, you know? Just need a couple, man. I'm okay. What gets you through the day? I need God. I need him. He's definitely my crutch. 4, deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. Out of man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Now, I don't know about you guys. I was raised in the church. I was blessed. Some of you guys didn't find God until later on in life. I'm thankful that I was raised in the church. The Bible tells us that to raise up a child in the way that he shall go and he will not depart from it. And I really believe that. At least not very long. I tried to make a break for it. Problem is, as a child, I learned to hear the voice of God and there was no place I could go to get far enough away to turn him off. So parents, it's important that you do, that you raise up your children in the church of God. And here, he's saying right from the beginning, thou art my trust from my youth, from a child. Every day you get older will be harder for you to receive the Lord. It's very, very rare that a person in their 70s and 80s receives the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in their 50s. It's easier, much easier that your teens, that you receive the Lord, you understand. And you have a chance to really change the world, a chance that your life can change. Oftentimes we get so firmly entrenched in our habits and our ways, it's hard for people to get saved at that age. He goes on and says,
By thee have I holden up, verse 6, from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Very poetic here. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. I love this because what he's saying is when people look at him, they're amazed. What's with this guy? Now, if you've walked with God for very long, do you ever remember the first time that someone approached you in that mode? Sort of like, man, you know, I don't know what it is with me, but man, you seem like you got it all together. You seem like you're really at peace. Now, oftentimes as you grow in the Lord, it's so subtle you don't even know it's happening. And the first time they do that to you, it's like, whoa, really? I've shared it with you that go here on a regular basis, so you know, bear with me. But when I lived in Minneapolis, I was a maintenance technician, and I ate at the same delicatessen every day. And an experience stuck in my mind ever since, and there was this girl that waited on me quite a bit, you know. And I wasn't in the ministry at all. I was just a believer, walking believer at that time. And I walked in there, and one day to me, she looks at me and she goes, you know, you always seem so happy. I was stunned. I didn't know what to say. I kind of just stumbled around. I didn't realize people were looking at me that close and seeing that part of my life. But they do. They see you. And really, for us that walk in Jesus, it is God to be the glory because we have no reason otherwise. And I know all you guys. You have no reason otherwise. You know? Because really, many times, you know, we go rough times, and it's the only thing we got going for us is God, and He's that rock, and He keeps us from blowing clean over and just wiping us out. But when people look at us and they say here, I am as a wonder unto many, they're mystified. And it says, but thou art my strong refuge. Again, I look at the guy I spoke with today, and what a blessing. Those of you that know the story of Caleb, here it was that he was willing to cross over into the promised land the first time. No, but the people wouldn't go, so he was doomed to wander around with them people for 40 years while everybody died. He was the only one left that went in. And after they went into the promised land, 40 years later, they took most of the land, and then they were kind of divvying up what was left, and they were going by family. And Caleb was 85 years old at that time, and he comes in and he says, listen, Joshua, I want the mountain territory. Well, the mountain territory was one area that hadn't fallen yet. Why? Because there were walled cities there, chariots, and giants. And Caleb was 85. You know what he was going to do up there? You guys, he's going to... You know what can he was going to open up there? Enough said. He was going to go up to the mountains there, wasn't he? I mean, this guy, 85 years old, and he was going to go up there and take those giants on. Oh, man. Oftentimes a minor character in Scripture, but I want to meet this Caleb guy. I'm going to look him up when I get to heaven. I want to see this guy. Can't you just see him? Have you ever seen one of these old guys that they grow old really good? You know, tan, muscles, really buff, you know? You know, that had to be Caleb. You know, beard, balding, you know what I'm saying? You know, really... This is a guy I really want to meet. 85 years old. That's finishing well, guys. That's finishing well. And if you are older, and again, older don't mean much around here. But if you're older compared to the cross-section of this church, let me tell you something. You are still viable and you are still needed. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your experience. I need your counsel. I need you. And I need you together. And I need you ministering. Here he's saying, I am a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. God, it's all you. It's all you all the time. Those of you that are familiar with Calvary Chapel as a whole, you'll know a story about Chuck Smith. I mean, he was out here just a few years ago. How old is Chuck now? 70? Anyone know? Late 70s, you think, Steve? Or early 70s? You know, and the guy just keeps going. And I just heard him this week talking on the radio about some of the gang trying to talk him into retiring. And he says, retire? What would I do for fun then? You know? Because for Chuck... You know, for him, ministering is his life, his hobby, his spare time, his job, his calling, his fun, and everything in between. He's a great man. He's just a man, but he's a great man. I respect him. He goes on in verse 8, and he says, let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Now look what it says here. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor.
Now, I need to touch on that because, you know, especially for those of you that have been in the church, you know, you kind of learn the Christianese, you know, the spiritual buzz phrases. You know how to do it. You see somebody that from the church, you know, during the day, hey, praise God, brother, you know, God bless. You know, and if you mean it, great. I'm not saying don't do that. Because usually they're waving something else at me. But so anytime you want to say God bless, that's okay. You know, I'm into that. But we shouldn't let it get to the point where it's Christian ease, you know, where we just kind of do it. Because look at the next part of this. It says, filled with thy praise and with thy honor. And see, many of us are quick with a word of praise, but our tongue does little else through the day to honor God. What does it mean to honor God? Well, honor means to give value. Give value to God. Do you speak and live that obedience also? Or is it just, praise God, brother? Do you share your faith? Do you witness? I don't mean rudely, you know. I've literally had Christians come up to me on the streets, like in Minneapolis, and they just, boom, they're in my face. I don't even tell them I'm a believer. I get my eyes real big and say, get out of my face. And they step aside. Now, we're not talking Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons here. We're talking evangelical Christians. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sharing your faith. What about that person you work beside every day and you don't even carry on conversation all day? Does it ever turn to Jesus? No, I'm not talking about turn to church. That's easy. Hey, you want to come to my church? Yeah, that's all right, too. What about Jesus? See, lots of times we have this mentality, I'll bring my friend to church so my pastor can tell them about Jesus. I got an idea. You tell them about Jesus. Honor. Honor him with my lips. It's an important word. I speak of it in marriage counseling as couples honoring each other. I believe in honor and honoring the Lord here with my lips, too. He goes on and he says, verse 9, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Now, I want you guys to remember this verse as I get older, okay? I want you guys getting rid of me. I want you to wheel me up front in my wheelchair there, you know, just lower the microphone. Actually, I'm very comfortable with growing older. I'm excited to see the younger gang around here. You know, guys like Tom coming up and going down onto campus and you know, very much like Scott was saying in his letter on Sunday, I want a piece of the action, but I'll try to remember when to get out of the way, okay? Because I need to be able to allow that. I need to know how to pass the torch. But I'm excited. I'm okay with just kind of growing older, and, you know, kind of, you know, just teaching school and ministry and teaching these guys and raising them up and sending them out. And I like the thing that Chuck Smith is doing. I mean, he gets to travel around and encourage people, and I could get into that. So I'm not worried about growing old. I don't think I'm going to anyway. I think the Lord's going to come back before I get too old. But he goes on here and he says, cast me not off, as I said, verse 10, for mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. And just like the devil, guys, let me tell you guys that walk with the Lord know that the devil loves to kick you when you're down. It'd be so nice if the devil went, oh, you know, that's, oh, you're having a bad day. You know, I'll give you a break today because I can see you're having a rough day and I've kind of already been beaten on you enough today. I'll cut you some slack. I've never, ever known the devil to cut anybody slack. It's like, ooh, we got him on the run, let's kick him while he's down. You know, it's like that, you know, spit on you a couple times, you know. That's the devil. You know, that's exactly how he likes to do. And he says, my enemies are against me, saying God has forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Verse 12, O God, be not far from me. Guys, is that your prayer? See, it's easy when you start thinking about when the times are rough. Oh, yes, God. Oh, you know, be not far from me. But I want you to think about it for a minute, because how many of us calculate the distance, and it's very, very much calculated, the distance between where we want to be with God? Really. See, we like to have the idea, it's like, some of us want to keep God at arm's length. Just right, I want to be able to touch him there. Okay, that's close enough, God. Some of us, like, you know, we like to think that he's at church while we're at work. That's a nice distance. Because you kind of know where to go when you need him. I mean, you know where to look. Some of us like to just keep a little dot out there on the horizon. Okay, I can still see him. and you kind of chuck along through life just so that you know you're heading in the right direction. But a lot of us, we don't want him like right there, because it's like, wow, that close. He can smell my BO. I mean, he's right there. I mean, that's awfully close to me, you know. Okay, then he knows every thought, and he knows every motive, and he knows everything I'm thinking and everything that goes on inside me. Guys, he can anyway. It don't matter if he's clear out there on the horizon. He still knows anyway. Didn't have any trouble finding Jonah, did he? You see, there is no spiritual Nineveh. There's no place to hide. And here he's saying, God, be not far from me. Can we really say that tonight? Do we really want God to be close? My God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed, that all that are adversaries to my soul, let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Now, but I will hope continually. Again, this is talking about a long-term relationship. But I will hope, and that word hope, those of you that are students of the Bible know, it has an idea of waiting and expectation. We talk about hope of eternal life. It's not like, well, I hope I have eternal life. No, it's talking about waiting in expectation. I don't hope I have eternal life. I know that I have eternal life. And you can know also. Hoping's not good enough. Now realize that's the Wisconsin kind of thing. And I won't name any specific denominations. But that's the kind of mentality a lot of you maybe have been raised with around here. It's just like, you know, my wife, I've shared before, she deals with a lot of people who are dying. And she'll say to them, are you ready? Are you ready to go? Are you ready to see God? Well, I hope so. Hope? We're dealing here in eternity, you know? You've been here maybe 80 years, whatever it is, and now you got 8 billion years to go. You might want to be a little bit more tight than hope. The Bible tells us that you can know that you have eternal life. By the way, if you don't know that you do tonight, you don't. You say, well, that's a bold statement. No. The Bible says that you can know, that in your heart you will know. Now, I'm not saying that you have those fleeting moments, you know. Wake up in the morning, am I saved? You know, I don't talk about that. Everybody has those, okay? And you're going, really? Yeah, really. Really. If you woke up this morning and you had an anxiety attack, you know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about overall, the Bible tells us. You know, you have a peace that passes all understanding. I know. If I die tonight, I will meet you on the other side. I'm ready to go. And it'll be great. I'll, you know, oh, Caleb, be hanging out with Caleb, Paul. It's going to be great. You know, just ask those guys where I am, because I'll probably be the guy that says, oh, the guy that's always bugging us with the long hair. Yeah. How was it when you were 85? Yeah, that guy, yeah. But I will hope continually. I'll wait in expectation. And the word, again, I have to emphasize, is continually. You know, and again, you guys know I pound an awful lot on America, and I guess I don't mean to do that, but maybe it's worldwide. But, you know, there's something in our mentality in this age is that nobody can do anything very long. We're just not a people of consistency. I don't know, maybe it has to do with the way I was raised, because my dad is wonderful. My dad's a wonderful dad. And he's a man of consistency. I mean, the way he is today is the way he'll be tomorrow. I don't know if your dads are like that. I mean, my dad, all my life, got up in the morning and picked up his black metal lunchbox, and he went to work, and he came home, and there was never a whimper, there was never a whine. My dad, I never ever remember my dad ever being sick. He probably was, but not a word, not a whimper. He was a man of consistency. In that respect, oh man, I mean, you're lifted to hero status in my mind there. Jesus Christ is always there. And I think that's where we have trouble with that concept. Because in this world, nothing's like always. We're not always, you know, nothing's always. Jesus Christ is always. God is always. And we can walk a consistent walk. That doesn't mean I don't stumble occasionally. But that what that means is I don't fall on my face and lay there disoriented for a week. Whoa, where am I? We keep going. There's a continuity. And there is some old people I know that have done that.
Do you know some old people that, like, you know, have been married like 60 years? You ever meet people like that? Wow. 60. You've been married 60 years and you still like each other? That's amazing. Continuity. Consistency. Now, the first time we get a little trouble, it's like, I'm out of here, man. I'm out of here. And we do it. We do it in our marriage. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ches. Oh, did you hear what the pastor said tonight? I don't have to take that. I'm going to go to a different church. I'm out of here. And I got people jumping around church to church to church. No continuity, no consistency. And here in the situation, he says, but I will wait in expectation continually. Continually. God, in the empowering of the Holy Spirit inside you, you can walk a continual, consistent Christian walk. But it's discipleship, and you do have to give your life over to God. You can't drive like that, by the way. You got to give the keys to Jesus. There's no way. You can't drive like that. Only God. I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Again, I love to see fired up believers, the old people that are just fired up in Jesus. There's some old people that passed in my lifetime. I remember them, and they were the coolest old people, and they loved Jesus so much. And I know full well they'll be there. My grandma was one of them. I can't wait. It's going to be great. I know that I get to see my grandma again. Isn't that great? Because they love Jesus right to the end. I will yet praise thee, even now, through all the battles, through all the trials, even yet. My mouth, verse 15, shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, because I don't know how many I'm going to have. That's what that's saying. I don't know the number of. And again, I don't want to be doom and gloom here tonight, but I don't know if you guys realize it, but we're all going to die. Yeah, I know. Denial will not change anything. We're going to die. If Jesus Christ does not return for us, and I'm hoping in great expectation, I'm hanging in there believing that He will. He could come any time. There doesn't need to be any more prophecies fulfilled before His coming. So that's the next thing on the agenda. So I'm ready. Let's get the heck out of here. So He's coming, but if not, we're all going to die. Every single person, it's the great equalizer, we're all going to die. It don't matter if you're rich, smart, beautiful, don't matter. Still going to shove you in a box and throw you in the ground. That's it. I think we would do far better to think about that. Think about some. We think about everything else, but we ignore the fact that we're going to die. We're going to die. And when you look at the situation, he says, I know not the number thereof. We don't know how long. Guys, we don't know that any one of us is going to be here next week. We don't know. Remember, those of you that have been around here for a number of years, you remember when Pastor Dave was here and Gail? Remember Gail? I mean, she wasn't like, you know, Olympic champ or anything. She was very healthy for her age. Never a problem. Nothing. She was in great shape, you know. Just like that, died of a heart attack. And I mean, when she died. There was no bringing her back. Gone. And you guys know that the big bus is waiting for me, so. If I do get hit by a bus and die, you guys will laugh and laugh. I hope you do. It'll be like, because you'll just laugh, because he always said that bus was waiting for him, so. The big bus. I'd be okay, though, because it'd be quick. And the second before, I'll just smile before I get smacked with that bus. Here it comes. For I know not the number thereof. We all don't know. It says, verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will go. Are you going to finish well, guys? Are you going to go in the strength of the Lord? I don't want to just, you know, kind of whimper out to the end. You know that song? Who was that? Was that Bon Jovi or something? I'll go down in a blaze of glory. You know that song? That's what I want to do. I'm going to go down in a blaze of glory. And a good thing about it is I got a bunch of really crazy people on my staff here. They're pretty much the same mentality. So it should be a great end. We'll all go down in great flames. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. And I want you to notice here, it doesn't say anything about retirement. See, lots of times we have this idea when we get old, it's like, well, I'm old now, and I need to retire from the battle, the spiritual battle. I'm going to let the youngsters take over now. Baloney. Look, you know, I'm going to go in the strength of God. No retirement. Don't quit. You keep fighting to the end. I figure if you quit, you're just waiting to die. No, don't do that. Fight to the end, man. Fight to the end. There's no place in the Bible that says, oh, when you get old, rest, you know, get, you know, and fish. I can pick on fishing because I don't fish. Verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And again, the writer starts to reflect back on his life again. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. That is a great verse. I want to show this generation. You know, a few years ago, Chuck Smith, the church is huge. I don't know how many people go to that church. Like 30,000 or something. I don't know. Thousands. Double-digit thousands. And it just got so big and everything that Chuck started going back up to the mountain to the old college again and teaching all the young people again. And those of you that are familiar with the Calvary Chapel movement, you'll know that it started with all the hippies, you know, the Jesus movement, late 60s, early 70s, you know. And that's how Chuck started ministering them, and then the church got very big, and then he started going back up and ministering to that next generation. And I'm sure it was for this mentality. He says, Lord, I want to show your strength to the next generation. What about us? I have been criticized pretty much consistently since this church began that I focus too much on stout. Well, don't hold your breath because that ain't going to change. That doesn't mean I don't love you if you're a family person. That doesn't mean I don't care about your families and your life situations and your jobs and your situation. But we will always be a college church. And if that is not what you like, you will not change this church. So pack it up because we're not going nowhere. We're a college church. That's not going to change. And those of you that are older, we need you to minister down there. To minister to people. These people, they're going to want somebody who has a clue. Do you have a clue? Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and the power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who has done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken or make me alive again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. And here he's talking about, and there's no way to look at this any other way, he's looking about coming back from the dead. See, if that proverbial bus is waiting for me, I'm just going to blink. Because to be absent of this body is to be present with the Lord. I'm just going to, boom, and I'm going to be right there. And there's not going to be any, oh, I had appointments this afternoon, you know? It's like, oh, I had a dinner engagement. It's just going to be like, oh, I'm home. And I'm going to sit down, and then maybe I'll fish, okay? For like 1,000 years with Caleb, of course, and Joshua. But I tell you, when we're there, no one will be sad. As you guys know, I say this again and again, and I hope you all remember this when I am dead and gone. This is not life. I don't know what the world and Satan has put that in our idea, that this is life, and then it's like, oh, then I got to die. Afterlife. We'll float around on clouds, you know, the harp, you know. I'll take chocolate. That's about how fast it is in the whole grand scheme of things. What are we here for? To make a choice. What's it going to be? With God for eternity or apart from God for eternity? See, it's real. It isn't some story in there going, oh, heaven, hell, you know, like it's some sort of storybook thing, you know? It's not, well, where's Waldo? Heaven, hell, you know, it's not that at all. It's real. We're dealing in reality here. We're talking about eternity. And these few years here, We're here and we're gone. And the important thing that we do here, and He blesses us. He lets us do a lot of other really cool stuff. But the one decision or not, it is the most important decision you'll ever make in all of your life. And better yet, all of eternity. That one decision. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Chocolate or vanilla? Thou which has showed me great and sore troubles. The writer here, David, I'm assuming he is speaking there about going through testings and trials, tribulations. You showed me great and sore troubles. Walking the Christian walk does not alleviate us from troubles, but it means that we don't walk through it alone, guys. Shall bring me again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. In other words, the older we get, we should be getting stronger. If you've been walking with Jesus Christ for a number of years, are you getting stronger? Think about it. Are you stronger? Are you tougher? Do you fall down less now? Or do you spend as much time on your face, spiritually speaking? Or maybe physically speaking. I will also praise Thee, verse 22, with the psaltery, even Thy truth, O my God. Until Thee will I sing with the harp, O Thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto Thee, and my soul, which Thou hast redeemed. My tongue shall also sing of Thy righteousness all day long. My tongue. He begins with this concept. He ends with this concept. It's you and Jesus. He's saying, my tongue shall talk of Thy righteousness all day long. The Bible tells us to pray unceasingly, and you think, well, I can't pray unceasingly. How do I do that all day long? We should know and have a relationship with God that He's right there. And better yet, He's right here all day. And I can push Him away. I can push the Holy Spirit away and say, you know what? I don't want you with me today. But that's the relationship He wants to have with us, right inside of us. My tongue shall talk of Thy righteousness all day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. I want you to notice His determination all through this whole chapter to continue to minister, to continue to further the kingdom of God here. I like that. And I guess if I bring all the message together tonight into a nutshell, guys, it's I want you to think for a minute. Again, I know this is a young body of Christ, but you know, the days tick by. And when you look back, what do you want to see? What do you want to see? I want to see a consistent walk in my own life. I want to see a man who served God, worked hard. Sometime I encourage you to look up and read a little bit about the life of John Wesley. The guy was unstoppable. As he got to be like 80 years old, he was saying, you know, I really feel bad because I find I'm getting very slothful, sleeping in till 5 a.m. No lie. And he would travel thousands and thousands of miles a day, preaching thousands and thousands of different sermons. This was one tough dude all the way to the end. I want to be that way. I want to fight to the end. Fight to the finish. And I know I can't do it myself. I know I need the Spirit inside me. I know I need God. Not just a Savior, but Lord. And there's a difference, kids. Everybody wants to be saved. No one wants to burn in hell for eternity. We all like that. Ooh. Don't want to smoke up, boy. I don't want that. Ooh. Don't want to burn. But Lord? Lord, something else. I mean, I'd have to kind of give over control. But that's the place of blessing. That's the place of peace. That's the place of consistency. That's the place of constancy, is Lord. So many of us are saved, but we've never come to know Him as Lord. And the days are passing, and we're getting older and older, and we're still struggling just to deal with the fundamental and elementary things of Jesus Christ. And Paul spoke of this. It's time to put the milk bottle away. He says, it's time to now start eating of the meat. Are you ready for the meat? You know what I'm talking about. holiness, ooh. Coming up from amongst them and be ye separate, oh. Service, whoa. You know what I'm talking? Meat. It's time to grow up. And we all can grow old together in joy of Jesus Christ. And when I leave, if I get to fight to the end, even if it's tomorrow, you can be happy for me. I'd rather fight to the end and leave now than wimp out as the years pass by. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for your word tonight. Thanks for giving us the message, Lord. We know that these bodies are going to pass. The soul of man never dies. That we'll be somewhere 100,000 years from now, and we will know, we will have consciousness. The question and the decision is, where do we want to be? For those that don't know you tonight, Lord, may they come before you tonight, Lord, and square things with you, and it's really simple. The Bible tells us to believe in me and thou shalt be saved. Repent. Repent means to turn. It doesn't say be sorry for your sins. It says repent, which means I turn away from them. In the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do that. And Lord, you are offering us that power tonight. You're saying that you will fill us with your Spirit, and we are able to repent from our sins, turn away from them, and that from this day forward, we're saved. We don't have to be saved again and again and again. That we're saved once, forever. And that we can go home tonight and close my eyes and think, praise God, if I don't open them in the morning, I'll be with you. And I know it, because the Bible promises it to be true. And we can have that great expectation of being with you, that hope of the glory of God. Father, I look forward to seeing you eye to eye, face to face. I pray, Lord, for myself. I pray for your Spirit. I don't want to be ashamed when I'm in front of you, Lord. I want to hear you say, well done, well done. I want to run into all those buff saints in the streets of heaven, and I want to talk about the wars that we fought, the spiritual wars that we fought. And I know only through you can I do that, but you are promising that you will allow me to fight. You'll fill me with your Spirit. You'll put me on the front lines, if only if I'm willing to go. And the days are passing by, Lord, and the years are passing, and we're all growing older, and one day we will all be together. Those of us that are your kids, we'll all be together in heaven. And we won't be here in this coffee house anymore. Lord, may we remember and look back on great battles, on the fight, on the good times of dealing in the spiritual battles here, Lord. Most of all, Lord, I lift up any that don't know you here tonight. It doesn't have to be that way. They can be a child of God, and there's no magic prayer to pray. There's no flaming hoops, no mountains to climb, and no, we cannot get our life straightened out before we come to you. We just dump the whole mess at your feet and say, here it is. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. But you can have it, Lord. If you'll take me, I'll be yours. I'll be one of your kids. And it's just that simple. And he understands plain English, not King James English. Make us one of your kids, Lord. Prepare us for the battle. Fill us with your Spirit. Father, it's a crucial time in the ministry of this church, and I lift up everybody that's here that are part of the family here, Lord, because we're starting a lot of heavy-duty work and heavy-duty service, and the devil's been pounding. But we ain't quitting, Lord. It's just making us mad. And we're just going to go forward with all the more gusto, and we're not going to stop, and we're going to go down there on campus. And with your Spirit, Lord, and your power and your will, we are going to lead a revival down there, Lord. And there will be people that come to know you and become children of God because of the ministry to down there, Lord, because of what you're doing. And then there will be those who hate us. Good. Good. Because, Lord, when you walked on this earth, they either loved you or they hated you. And that's where I want to be. I want to be in that hot seat. And Lord, I won't kid you. That's scary, but I know you and us, we can do it, Father. The years are passing, Lord. Maybe this is the last week we'll get. Maybe we'll only get one service down there, Lord. we pray for. We ask that you make it count. Lord, but I promise you one thing. Whatever happens, we'll down there. And we're not the only ones, Lord. Be with Campus Crusade, Inner Varsity, all those who are fighting the fight down there, Lord. Be with them, all of us. The battle's great. Thanks for all these guys tonight, Lord. Thanks for letting them be part of the family. Thanks for letting me minister to them. And I'm unworthy of the position you've given me, but thanks for giving me a shot. We love you tonight, Lord, and praise your most holy name. Amen. Amen. If you need some prayer for anything, find someone in this group that you can trust.